Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Learn to Code with Me podcast. I'm your host, Laurence Bradford, and today's episode is all about dealing with obstacles when you're new to the tech industry. But first, a quick word about this episode's wonderful sponsors. Flatiron School's online data science bootcamp gives students the knowledge, skills, and the experience they need to land jobs as data scientists. Start learning for free with their data science bootcamp prep course. Just go to flatironschool.com/learn-to-code-with-me to get started. Backblaze provides cloud backup that's astonishingly easy and low cost. Back up all of your data and access it from anywhere in the world for just $5 per month. Start your fully featured 15-day free trial today by going to backblaze.com/learn-to-code. In today's episode, I talk with Josh Kemp. Josh is a former blacksmith and farrier who, after getting kicked badly by a horse, started learning to code. Josh studied 3 hours every day for the next 9 months and 2 days until he landed his first junior developer role. In this show, we talk about the obstacles he faced along the way and how he overcame them. Make no mistake about it, Josh locked in his first coding job fast. And today, he helps others get developer, QA, and other tech jobs with his course, The Fastest Way to Land a Tech Job. You can check out his course by going to learntocodewith.me/fast. That is an affiliate link, which means I'll earn a small commission for referring you. But as I always say, I only want you to invest in the products and the courses that are going to help you reach your goals the fastest. Enjoy the episode. Hey, Josh, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hey, Laurence, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, I love chatting with people like you who made a total career transition later in life. And I know that the listeners love to hear stories like yours, too. It's really inspiring. It's really motivational. I'm excited to hear all about it and your insights on how to handle stress while learning to code. But first, could you share with us what your life was like before you started learning to code?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I was homeschooled. My parents were big into college education. I started college at 16 for business law, and I did not like it. So I became a little bit of a, not a rebel, but I was like, I'm not doing college. I'm doing my own thing. I wanted to be a caricature artist, little cartoon guys at like Disney, you see. And I did that first summer, didn't make any money, you know, just kind of bummed around, did some like Starbucks things. But eventually I found my niche of being a farrier, a blacksmith, shoeing horses. And made, you know, really decent money doing that. I did it for 7.5 years. I got kicked in the face, actually. So I'm no longer beautiful. That's a joke. So then I broke my right thumb, my left pinky. And I just basically said to myself, okay, I've had my second kid. I no longer feel invincible. I need to find something else that can support my family. And one of my clients had told me, he was a DBA at the time. He was like, hey, if you learn how to code, companies will overlook your lack of credentials since I didn't have a degree. But yeah, that's kind of what I was doing before.
Wow. So how long were you in that other industry for before you made the switch?
So I did, I apprenticed with a guy for 6 months shoeing horses until he said I was good enough, whatever that means. And I went to a shoeing school. They have a trade school in California, Sacramento, which is like 8-9 weeks, which makes you good enough to be dangerous. And then just like coding, you know, and then I did it on my own for 7.5 years. So up till I was 28. So,
yeah. So that's a good amount of time. I mean, to be in that industry and then make the switch. What impact did that injury have on your life? And I don't want to sound weird when I say this, but in some ways, are you kind of like thankful that it happened? Because it ended up... Right word?
Yeah, no, I in hindsight, you know, difficult situations always suck. And you're like, man, why the heck is this happening? And then it's like, oh, you know, now I'm glad that I'm no longer shoeing horses. Initially, the income was a pretty drastic change. So like it was winter time when I got injured and I got kicked in the hand and broke my pinky. And I'm not bragging, but I'm very, very tough and very driven. And I continued shoeing horses with my hand broken. and just sucked. It was winter time. It was like 20 degrees outside, and I remember thinking to myself, all right, I needed to get a skill where I can literally walk into a building with just my brain. Someone gives me a computer, I can make money, and I want to make enough money to provide well for my family. And so, yeah, it was very tough. But in hindsight, yeah, I'm so glad I got into tech.
Yeah. So when you first decided to pursue tech, look into it, figure out what to learn, what was like the first thing that you did?
So I'm very, thankfully, one of my natural skills is I have good people skills. I'm very strategic and very driven. And I'll give you an example of when I listened to someone else besides like what I thought I should do. I was trying to get out of shoeing, and I was up in Northern Virginia, up near DC. So all my friends were like working in the government, had top secret clearances. And they're like, hey, get a security job, and then you can work your way into help desk. You can slowly get into the tech field. So without doing any job searching or anything, I just said, oh, okay. So I paid a bunch of money, went and took a week-long armed security officer training, did their shotgun training, their handgun training, and I passed, and I'm like, yay. And I go to get a job, and basically every job wants like 10 years experience, or the local jobs didn't require armed, and they didn't pay anything. So I was like, oh, crap. I totally didn't start with the end in mind. I just started learning. So when I did coding, so after that failed, I then was like, okay, which job? This is 2012. I was like, which tech job is the hottest? Which is newest? And it'll have more entry-level jobs. At the time, it was Rails. You know, that's not the case anymore. But so I found out, I just Googled on LinkedIn, different sites, and I saw that there was junior Rails developer positions, but there weren't many like junior C++ positions. So I was like, okay, let's do the math here. Let's do the hot technology. It's easier to learn. And that's why I decided to shoot for it.
Yeah, that's smart. So looking online to see like what kind of junior dev positions were out there, that's a really good point. I think you mentioned with like there were like junior Ruby on Rails dev openings, but not like, would you say C# or C++ or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think another thing is like based on where people live, you mentioned like you are in Northern Virginia. I'm in New York, someone who lives, I don't know, in Missouri or something. I think like the different, depending on like what companies are in your area, there could be different technologies, because I know there's some people that, or some areas that there's a lot of, oh God, .NET and,
right,
and that. So yeah, I think that's really good advice though, just looking online, seeing what's available. So anyway, so you did this research, you saw Ruby on Rails, you saw their job openings, you saw their companies are hiring for it. And then what was your next move?
Well, so when I was a kid, I wanted to get in computers. At our church, there was this guy who was deaf, but he could lip read. So I thought he was cool as can be. So I'd go up to this dude and just start talking to him, and he would like lip read and talk to me. I didn't even know what to say. I just was like, man, how does he do that? But he did computers. And, you know, as a kid, they seemed really wealthy. And I was like, oh, cool, I want to do computers. So someone had told me, though, that like if you're not good at math, you know, don't do that, bad idea. So I wasn't great at math in high school. And in hindsight, I think it was just the way I was presented the information. But anyway, so I was always just kind of wrote that off as that's not for me. So when I looked at Ruby, one of my clients had given me a book. I don't know, C++. It was some language that was very low level. And I was like, oh gosh, I can't do this. This is going to suck. And then I somehow stumbled upon Ruby. They just have a good learning community, real friendly at their meetup groups. And I was like, oh crap, I can read this stuff. I can do this. And I mean, I'm not the smartest tool in the shed, right? So like for me, I was like, what can I do that I can succeed at? And part of it is like, I feel good about not having to have a chip on my shoulder to be smarter than everybody. I just say, hey, look, this is how I learn. And Ruby was for me just a light bulb of like, I can learn these things. I can create a web application. And in the end, I got a job with it. So I was just thrilled to find Ruby, and it worked out great.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when you began teaching yourself how to code, you were also working full time, right?
Right. Right.
So I'm curious, I know the listeners definitely are, what kind of problems did you face when you were balancing all of this?
Thankfully, my wife, we've been married now just over 10 years. We got married really young. We're a bunch of babies. But so I'm 33 now. So we got married at 23. But anyway, so she's super, super supportive. And, you know, we were like, look, I Googled online, tried to figure out. At the time, their boot camps were just starting, like Dev Boot Camp, I think, was at the time, the first one. I tried to get in those boot camps, and I went up to New York to get into Flatiron. I just missed getting in. I ended up renting a house, losing a bunch of money, trying to – I just risked a whole – I'm a risk taker, and I lost a bunch of money on that. But when I came back down after not getting in Dev Boot Camp or Flatiron, I said, you know what? I'm going to learn this myself. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'd found one other guy who had taught himself, and I reached out to – there's two people. I reached out to them and asked, how long did it take you? How many hours? And both of them had said about 1,000. So then I just said, I'm going to do 3 hours a day, and I figure within a year I'm going to get hired somehow. And it ended up taking me 827 hours, which for me, I needed some simple metric to help me like stay focused. So I talked to my wife and said, let's do 21 hours a week, you know, 3 hours a day. So we'd put the kids to bed at 10 o'clock, you know, sorry, we put the kids to bed about 8 o'clock. And after we'd talk a little bit, I would code from 10 at night to 1 in the morning or later. I'd fall asleep on the couch. My wife come wake me up, like, hey, get in bed. But yeah, we just didn't miss a day, grounded out every day. It was tough, you know?
Wow. So 10 p.m. at night to 1 a.m., like 5 days a week or 7 days a week?
So what I do is I had to keep my horse shoeing clients happy. And believe it or not, some people are like, wow, horse shoeing, what is that? But like, believe it or not, some of my clients are like really like polo horses, and they go to events and they have to be like ready. And they're very much like, you know, hey, my horse lost a shoe, you got to get here now. So some days it would mess up my, you know, my schedule. So I wouldn't be able to study much. So then I would make up the hours on the weekends. If I had to do 4 or 5 hours, I'd go to Panera's and I would just, you know, get a drink, sit down and just go for 4 or 5 hours, however, sometimes 6 hours to make sure every week I had 21 hours, because I realized without keeping track, I thought I was doing 21. I really did like, you know, 12. And I was like, oh man, I need to keep, because you lie to yourself where it's like, I feel like I'm doing a good job. But if you're not like cold, hard truth, where it's like, look, I've got to do the time. I've got to put it in. And at first it really sucks because you're not good at anything. You can't debug stuff very well. but yeah, that's how we did it.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that tip of using like a metric, like a certain time. And sorry, if you could repeat this again, you did 21 hours a week because you were trying to get to how many hours total?
So at the time I found two people, one on LinkedIn, one on some website that had gotten hired and they didn't have a degree. And I had messaged them and I said, how long did it take you? And they gave me a month. They're like, well, I was doing this 6 months. And one guy was like, I did it 2 years. And I was like, but how many hours are you studying? Cause it's hard to know, like, was it 1 hour? Was it 40 hours a week? And basically they both guessed it was around 1,000. So I gave myself just a number, like, okay, you know, if I work hard, I can get the same results, you know, theoretically. So I just put that as a number and figured out how long would it take me, you know, roughly a year. And then I figured out I need 21 hours a week to make this happen. I didn't want to go longer than a year, really, because I feel like it's hard when you have kids and hard on your family to be gone, you know, not present. And I knew I could do that for a short time, but I didn't want to, you know, do that for a long, long period of time with my kids.
Right. Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. So you're doing 21 hours a week, trying to get to that 1,000 hours, trying to take a year to do it. And at the time, okay, so you're working full time, you had these injuries. What kinds of things, like were there moments where you were really stressed or where you were really nervous or you're about to just like throw in the towel and be like, you know what, maybe this isn't for me? And how'd you deal with that?
Yeah, so for me, I'm very driven. And I can, and honestly, with horseshoeing, it's almost like abuse. I mean, you get under this horse and he sits on you, he kicks you, he tries to bite you. And I'm like, I always thought of myself as tough and like I can do anything, you know, like I've had that mentality. And my parents always taught, you know, we're always kind of like, you know, I felt like if you don't have a degree, you're not going to make it. That's my feeling, whether or not they meant it that way. So I always feel like I had to push myself. So the first day, I was going to learn to code. I downloaded Sublime Text and I spent 2.5 hours. My blog post is still up. Like I didn't delete anything to make myself look better. I just left it up. It took me 2.5 hours to save a file. And in hindsight now, basically I should have just closed it and reopened it. That's all I needed to do. But it got stuck in a state where for some reason it wouldn't save. And I was losing my mind, like thinking, wow, Josh, you must be an idiot. You can't even save a file. So those moments, I mean, absolutely. You feel like you're just like, I can't do this. Everyone must be smarter than me. You know, they're better than me. Some people just, maybe I'm just not smart, but you get through those times. And for me, my kids were super motivating because I just, you know, there they are. I'm like, I need to take care of these kids. My wife was a stay-at-home mom, and we just had to do it. So I feel like in hindsight, like you were saying earlier, it was actually good to have all this pressure because I almost couldn't fail because I have to make it, you know, versus some people that talk to me, like I've done coaching. I don't coach anymore, but like I did a bunch of coaching for the last 2 years. And the biggest thing is people will be like, they're just too comfortable. They might be in their parents' basement, but there's too much easy Netflix, TV, and like they don't have enough drive. Like I had that because of my situation.
Yeah, I love that. And it reminds me of another guest I had on seasons ago. We'll have to include him in the show notes. His name's Brian. And I think he's one of the all-time favorites, but he transitioned into a new role as a software developer in about the same time you did. He also had two kids. He also was working full-time, and he just cut out all the distractions. And I think what you talked about, like you had so much pressure that you couldn't fail. And I just think back to my own Learn to Code experience, which is really different, I think, from pretty much everyone's people listen to the show. No way, I won't get into it. But I was like actually totally by myself. Like I was living in Thailand and I had no one, like literally no one around me that I knew. I was alone. So I had a lot of time. And at first I was kind of going crazy, and I never talk about this, but I ended up gaining a lot of weight because I would just eat a lot of junk food and like watch Netflix and stuff, even though it's in Thailand. And then after several weeks, I was like pulled myself out of that and got back on the horse. But in any event, it's just really interesting to hear like the different places that people come from. But I have found that people in like your situation, like with a lot of pressure, I think make that transition a lot faster. Because other guests that I've had on the show that switched into tech the fastest have, I think, for the most part, all been married and had kids and were working full time. And they were the ones that did it in like 8 months, 10 months or something.
Right.
So you ended up landing a junior dev job after nine months and 2 days is what,
right?
I have written down.
That's right.
Yeah, which is really impressive, you know, without a college degree while working full time. So what kind of job was it and how did you find it?
So, and I will say this, because people ask me after I had one blog post go viral, someone put my blog post on Hacker News and like all these people emailed me and basically said in nicer words, wow, if this moron who shoes horses for a living can do this, what did I miss? I must be doing something wrong if he can do it. So I think there's two types that I've come across of people. There's people like myself. My previous education of like my tech background was like, I could send text messages. I could send emails. If I needed to attach a photo, I would have to get my air quotes techie wife to help me. So like from going from that to getting hired, versus you hear people are like, yeah, I did coding in high school and now I'm learning to code. But really, they have a solid fundamentals of like variables, strings. I didn't know what a string was. I was like, what in the heck? Why did they pick the word string? Why didn't they say text? So like, so for me, I got up to 9 months to, 2 days, and I just started speaking at local meetup groups. And, I'm very passionate about trying to learn. Like I give it my all, whatever I do. And this one guy came up to me, several people came up and tried to help me, but one guy came up to me and said, hey, let's have coffee. At the time I didn't realize it was like an informal interview. And he invited me to a final interview. And I was up against, he told me the job required, air quotes, a 4-year degree. And they wanted 6 years experience. And I was like, well, I'm not going to get that. And the person who was also interviewing had 6 years experience and a degree. And I'm like, why are they even interviewing me? So I bombed the interview, completely failed the interview. And they took me out to a sympathy lunch is the polite way to say it. I mean, I like to just say things like they are, like, you know, I bombed it. I didn't get a single answer right. Let's just put it that way. I had made a Rails app, which I was pretty proud of. But at lunch, I said, hey, to the manager, I said, am I able to Google those questions and get the answers? And he's like, sure. So by the end of the lunch, I had all the answers. And I said, hey, this is what you wanted. And he's like, yes. And then I thought I totally lost it, but at least felt good I gave him the answers. And then I was told later that they picked me. It was like a tie. The whole team picks. 20 people decided. They picked me because I had more enthusiasm and passion. And the other person just seemed like it's just another job. So I think it shows that I've never been qualified for any job I've ever gotten. Like when I worked at IBM, the manager had to write me a letter explaining why she hired me, even though I didn't have a college degree, which was a hard and fast requirement.
Wait, at the time. Sorry, I write a letter to you or to someone else or?
Oh, I'm sorry. So I was speaking at a meetup group. She came up and said, hey, let's have lunch. Which is how I've gotten all my jobs, you know, like you speak at local places. And IBM had a requirement at the time that you had to have a degree, and the job required a CS degree.
So she had to basically
explain why she was making a poor choice.
Like to her manager or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it. Okay, so she had to like write a letter explaining why they hired you to HR or her manager or something. Okay, that makes more sense. Sure. That's all I think really encouraging to people listening. And I loved what you said about like every job that I've had, I've been unqualified for. And I think that's sure. I think too many people feel like they need to meet every job requirement or 90% of the job requirements that a job listing has, when in reality, you maybe need to meet like 50% or something.
Right.
Yeah, so that's all really awesome information. So when you got this position, you weren't really job hunting, right? Like you weren't like applying to jobs online or were you?
So, you know, I have a course now and I've made this course because I got laid off at this job and I got laid off the next job and no fault of my own, just companies downsizing, you know, things like that. And through all the last 5 years I've been in tech, here's been my experience. Whenever I apply for a job, I never even get an interview. I hardly ever even hear back. And most people I talk to without a degree get discouraged with that. And they're like, oh, well, obviously I'm not qualified. And the truth is, when you send in to like applying, it's like this HR person decides who's the qualified by do you have a degree or no degree. So I was job hunting because I was speaking at local meetup groups. I wasn't sure if it was going to work, but I knew, I think it was on the 6th month I tried applying and didn't hear, you know, I heard crickets back. So I was like, well, that's not going to work. So I just figured if I'm helping out in the community, adding value, talking, giving small talks and shaking nervous, you know, I figure if I'm ever going to get a job, this is the place someone's going to give me a shot. And it did work, but yeah. I didn't have, at the time I had never done it, but now I've done it many times, so I knew it worked, but.
Sit tight, podcast listeners. We're taking a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. Since 2012, Flatiron School has helped more than 1,200 students launch new careers in tech. And now they're helping their students break into one of tech's most in-demand fields, data science. There has been a 650% growth in data science jobs since 2012. In fact, data scientist and machine learning engineer jobs are the two fastest growing careers in all of technology. With Flatiron School's online data science bootcamp, you can take advantage of that growth and land a job as a data scientist sooner than later. Thanks to their tried and true curriculum, top instructors, and dedicated career coaches, you can change careers with confidence. Even better, if you don't get a job offer after working with Flatiron School for 6 months, they'll give you your money back. Start learning for free with Flatiron School's Data Science Bootcamp Prep Course. Just go to flatironschool.com/learn-to-code-with-me to get started. Backblaze provides unlimited cloud backups for Macs and PCs for just $5 per month. It backs up your code, documents, music, photos, and videos, basically everything you could possibly need to protect completely automatically. Access your data from anywhere in the world, whether that's via your computer or on the go using their iOS and Android apps. Even better, you can recover just one file or all of your files. The choice is yours. And if you do have a complete system failure, you can buy a hard drive with all of your data and have it sent overnight via FedEx. You can even return the drive to Backblaze and get a full refund. With over 700 petabytes stored and 35 billion files restored, you can count on Backblaze to protect your data. It's gimmick-free with no hidden charges, just $5 a month for full backups and peace of mind. To start your fully featured 15-day free trial, go to backblaze.com/learn to code. That's backblaze.com/learn to code. Try Backblaze and start protecting your data today. Yeah, I love the tip of adding value to the community, or just adding value in general. I feel like my my blog and other writing that I've done online has, even if it's years old, like from like 2015 or something, it's come back and it's helped me in ways today that I'm still just kind of blown away by. Like the fact that I wrote some blog posts several years ago that now someone found, now they're reaching out about something that's like some kind of professional opportunity. It's just crazy how when you provide value that it really comes back and helps you in all sorts of ways, and you're giving back, and it's really awesome. So I want to backtrack actually a second, because you mentioned laid off. So you mean from the tech job that you ended up getting, you were laid off?
Yes. I was a junior developer. Which, by the way, junior developers, I think one problem people get junior developer role, they're like, okay, now I'm gonna write this awesome code. You're probably writing, what I did is I did lots of HAML and SAS, which is just like HTML and CSS. I did a little JavaScript. I wasn't doing as much as I thought. Like I thought, and I reached out to other junior developers I knew, and I'm like, hey dude, I'm only doing HTML and CSS and like a little JavaScript. He's like, guess what I'm doing? I'm doing marketing because we don't have enough clients. And I was like, oh, no one mentions this online. So, I was getting more and more tech experience, but I still wasn't like, you know, I wasn't writing algorithms every day or something like that. I feel like people, and I think now web applications are more complex than back in 2013. So it's harder to get a junior dev role. I think it's easier to get into like test automation or something, you write code, because for me, that was a big deal. It's like, I always thought if I'm not great at algorithms, I suck. And then after being in the field a few years, it's like, no, you actually need to know more OOP, more object-oriented coding principles. You rarely have to write binary search. I've never had to write a binary search in real life. So, you know, just like reality versus what I thought it was going to be. But yeah, I worked hard at this company and they loved me. I got, you know, got a great review. And then the company just did this global speech, you know, the economy's changing and blah, 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 blah. And that means layoffs. And they laid off all their front end people. They were nice about it. They gave me a couple months notice. They gave me some severance. But being very junior, I was like, oh, crap. Now what do I do? And I interviewed for 9 dev positions. And every one, I got down to the final interview. Like, hey, we love your personality. You know, you're great. You know, blah, blah, blah. But you're not quite there to be a full-blown developer. Or here, you can do this junior dev role, but you need to know more JavaScript, because JavaScript is eating up the world and still is at the time. And I didn't have the JavaScript skills that they wanted, like all these frameworks. And so I ended up taking a QA role and being kind of embarrassed about it, that I wasn't a dev. And in hindsight now, it's like, oh, actually, I like test automation. I still got to write code. I was using Ruby, using Selenium. And I don't know, it was just a stigma of like, oh, you're not a developer. You're that. And it's like, okay. So for me, that was a big deal. That next company ended up running out of work. It was a contracting company. I had no clue about things like worrying about a company's finances at the time. And on a Tuesday, they said, here, give us your badge. And they laid off 11 of us on a Tuesday. So, those were challenging times.
Wow. I didn't even realize about those coming to this interview, but I'm really glad you're sharing them. So what did you end up doing the second time you got laid off? And real quick, I do want to throw in the second episode of this season with Londa Quisling, we talked about how test automation and QA is a great place for beginners to start. Another one that I think is good is like internal tools. So I know at where I was working previously, we had like different pods, you know, parts of like the product, and one was internal tools, and they built and maintained the internal app that our customer support team used. And I feel like that, well, actually people on the pod, one of the main people, when he started the company, he was on customer support, and he was able then to move over and be one of like the pod leaders of internal tools. You know, this took a few years, of course, but in any case, I think that's another good direction to go in. But sorry, back to this. So when you got laid off the second time, what did you do?
Right. So I was pretty, so when I was shoeing horses, I'm not bragging, but as a 25-year-old, I made a lot of money. I made over $115,000. So I was like, oh, you know, I'm doing good for myself and I'm providing well for my kids. And I thought, you know, life was good. When I was doing the tech, you know, I was making like, you know, 65 and I was getting by, but I just felt like, wow, here I am, you know, 30 or almost 30. And I'm kind of thinking of my younger self going, what the hey? Like, you know, you just feel like as you get older, you should be, you know, I guess the natural progression, you feel like you should be doing better. So I was pretty discouraged. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I had a couple, on the way home on that Tuesday, I had a couple, might've had a couple tears drip out. And I was just like really discouraged because I had been learning at the first company all of their tools and at the next company learning all their tools. And now it's like, oh crap, now I'm on the, so I ended up saying, you know what? I was in Northern Virginia. The cost of living was very, very high. We had friends in Raleigh, North Carolina. So we said, let's move. Let's just try to get a job down there and move. Cost of living's way less.
And it's a huge tech hub.
It is. It's great.
Lots of tech companies there.
Yeah, it's great down here. I love it. But at the time, I didn't know what was going to happen. So I ended up swallowing my pride and saying, you know what, I'm going to move in with my folks for a month, just cut back on my finances. I had some job offers to go further up north, like into Washington, D.C., but the commute was going to kill me. So I said no. So I had some other stuff I could do up there, but I just wanted to you know, change and have more time with my kids. So out of desperation, I said, all my success has been desperation. Like, I'm always like, crap, what do I do now? It's never like sitting down, twiddling my thumbs. It's always like, I need to make this work. So I reverse engineered the job hunting process. I said, okay, if I send out applications, I get nothing back. So I'm not doing that. And then I looked at recruiters and I said, how do they make their money? And then I was like, oh, what if I act like I'm a recruiter? How would I find me? And so basically I got hired in 9 days and I was surprised because previously it took me 2 months and, you know, praying and praying, like, oh, please let me. And so I was like, oh, so that's how I ended up making my course, because people come to me like, how did you get hired in 9 days? And it's like, I'm not a genius. Like, everything I've done, anyone can do, in my opinion. But basically, starting with the end in mind, find the job that you know you're a good fit for. Do not apply for it. Never apply for the job, which of course everyone's like, well, why would you never do that? And the number one rule is most recruiters get some commission off of you if they get you hired. And if you go apply for a job, you're now in that company's search, their database, whatever, and they don't get that. So just basically using them as a way to get into a company, you know, it's just different than most people, but I never apply for a job. I never applied for a job ever since. And I ended up getting hired down at Fidelity. And what's hilarious is my title was a mid-level software engineer in testing. And the truth is, which is hilarious, because people now are like, oh, how do you know you're good enough? I'm not good enough. You're never going to feel good enough. They're like, well, you have a cool title. Or, you know, it's like the person who interviewed me had me, all they had me do was reverse a string not using string.reverse. So I just use a loop. And that gave me the title mid-level. And I'm like, that's a terrible. But I found out later, the person who interviewed me had been giving someone handed them my papers, like, here, go interview this guy. And they weren't even an automation tester. They were a manual tester. So they Googled some questions to ask. And I think it's just funny how, like, we put all of our self, like how we feel about ourselves. And half the time it's a rush job when you're getting interviewed on some of these things.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think like some interviews people are, or the whole team is really prepared for the candidate and there's been a lot of thought put in, but then there could definitely be times where maybe someone's sick and someone else is filling in, or, you know, what, like, or someone has an emergency come up and they're filling in and they barely even looked at your resume. And it sounds like what you said, like the person didn't even really know what your job would entail. So they were looking up, but yeah, it's funny how life happens. Well, thanks so much for sharing all of your stories and all of these tips. Is there anything else you'd like to leave the listeners with before we get going? Like any other job hunt tips?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, like I'll give you one last story. I was at a job and this HR person came up to a developer sitting right next to me. And she said, "You have to interview this guy in 10 minutes. And he's like, "What?" And he used some other language that we won't use. Basically though, he said, he got his buddy and he said, "How are we going to interview this guy?" And they both agreed that the person wasn't a blank. We'll just, you know, that's cool. And I was like, you're going to hire the dude or give your recommendation if he's nice, because they really didn't have time to really, they didn't have, you know, they had project deadlines. But what I found after helping and coaching people, there's, in my opinion, there's roughly two types of people that are trying to get into code. There's people who write "Hello World" and then they think, "Oh, I'm ready to make 100K. And it's like, no. And there's people who are amazing coding technically. We might have dropped out of computer science, but they don't have the people skills and they don't care about the people skills. And I think it's much easier to get someone hired who's very nice and positive and energetic. It's much easier to get someone with less technical ability hired than someone with more technical ability who makes no eye contact, doesn't shake hands. You know what I mean? So like, if my advice to someone who's trying to get in tech right now is, here's the, like, if you are very new to tech like I was, and you can afford to take 45, 50K, you know, try like get into tech support. And then if you do that, or if you're good enough for that, do QA. If you make QA, it makes a little more, then do test automation. If you still love coding, then do a junior dev role versus trying to go straight to junior dev. I don't think people should put themselves like, here in 12 weeks, I'm gonna go from zero to hired. That's tough. So I think it's unrealistic.
Yeah, I liked that progression there, starting in tech support and kind of working your way up and not going right to the junior dev. I think that's sound advice. And I think of my own journey into tech and it was always like baby steps that led to the next thing. You know, I didn't go full force right away. My first job, I was like making like $15 an hour and working in like, I was like working in like a basement. Like it was, but I had only,
awesome.
I'd only been learning for like a couple weeks at that point. So I thought it was great because I was basically being paid to learn, but it was very,
right.
It was far from glamorous. Oh my goodness. I was very far from glamorous. Anyway, thank you so much, Josh, for coming on the show. This is great. Where can people find you online?
So I have three places. I'm on Instagram, JoshuaKemp85. I have my blog, Joshua Kemp. But then my course is called The Fastest Way to Land a Tech Job. And I put everything I've learned into that. And I think it'd help a bunch of people. But yeah, feel free to reach out to me, ask me questions. I'd love to help.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Josh. If you missed any of that or would like a recap, the show notes for this episode can be found at my website at learntocodewith.me/podcast. If you're listening to this episode in the future, simply click the search icon in the upper navigation and type in Josh's name. Again, Josh has a course where he teaches people the fastest way to land a job in tech. It's especially relevant for those who are coming from non-traditional career backgrounds. When I say non-traditional, I just mean non-traditional getting into tech. So someone without a computer science degree or maybe no college degree at all. You can learn more about his course at learntocodewith.me/fast. Again, the URL is learntocodewith.me/fast. I will earn a small commission for referring you if you decide to get his product. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next time.